Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
You know what? I feel like all the shit I done been through, I shouldn't have to ask certain people for help, nigga.
Why?
I got my own motherfucking back, nigga. That's how I feel, nigga. One thing I figured out. Having your own shit eliminates all ass kissing,
all
nigga.
Ass.
Me against the world, nigga. Me and Slaughter, nigga. Fight through all the comments. Dealing with all the shit talk.
Okay.
Going through all the paperwork. Pulling off the car lot. G500s and these Maserati Summers. Got these diamonds dancing on me. Bad bitches all up on me. Can't get caught up in the shine of it. Killers wanna see me dead. Broke to understand a nigga. They wanna underhand a nigga. Waiting on the smoke to clear. On the other side of the law. Hustle all through the year. I'm on the other side of the law. Streets just ain't the same no more. Can't get caught up in this world. Sometimes you gotta back off. Even if it's falling off. Even if it's changing routes. Even if you ain't for sure. Even if your vision blur. Even if your death is near. Even if you're waking up. Still got all the shit you had. Even if your casket closed. Only God knows. Only God knows all the troubles I've been in.
If in need, I can't see them hungry.
I stand on.
Lord, tell me where to go from here. It's cold red in my city till I have no fear.
My vision clear.
Lord, I ask you to walk with me. Done lost so much, just wanna win. Lord, the lap victory.
It's sad too.
Boy, they tell us stop and freeze. All they do is draw and squeeze. We've been running for our life for centuries.
I had a dream.
My sin is a sin, a pen is a pen. Either you're wrong or you're right. I hope we all see the end.
Mr. Light. The end of the tunnel, we in this jungle like the devil trying to take me under.
Yes,
and for all them thieves that follow me, protect your essence. Born with less, but you still precious. One more time,
before I let them take my blood, sweat, and tears.
I say, fuck it, grab my neck, I'm going to 100 years.
Me against the world,
the world,
the world.
Me against the world, nigga. Can't get caught up in this world, don't get caught up in this world, nigga.
Can't get caught up in this world, nigga. Me against the world.
I was playing ball, forgive me when I said big screams. Now it's 5 years later, big faces, big screams. Talking about bad bitches up in condos. Smoking man swishes, about to get some head pronto. Pussy weed, alcohol, nigga, plus that cash go with it. Double low, we clocking Lucci, stick a bird up in a pussy. Smoking kryptonite, rolling in the beans. And I'm pooping up some tins, about to break them for their years. Tell them,
I'm in a 98, put it out, gas up to the fullest, B and Z. Two bitches and me, a quarter pound of weed in Hennessy. They looking sexy, from the start they under me. Too tough, I got they hearts, please, understand indeed. Ways to get your ass through the day with razor blades. Tight gang, you'll fade them all the way. Pizza laid out, pussy weed and D, fella. Alcohol and G, fella. Bitches coming deep, fella. Courtesy on me, fella.
All the shit I done been through, I shouldn't have to ask certain people for help, nigga.
Why?
I got my own motherfucking back, nigga. That's how I feel, nigga. One thing I figured out, having your own shit eliminates all the ass kissing, nigga.
All the ass kissing.
Cause me against the world, nigga. Me and Slaughter, nigga. Fight through all the comments, dealing with all the shit talk.
Okay.
Going through all the paperwork, pulling off the car lot. G500 and these Maserati Summers. Got these diamonds dancing on me. Bad bitches all up on me. Can't get caught up in the shine of it. Killers wanna see me dead. Broke to understand a nigga. They wanna underhand a nigga. Waiting on the smoke to clear. On the other side of the law. Hustle all through the year. I'm on the other side of the law. Streets ain't the same no more. Can't get caught up in this world. Sometimes you gotta back off. Even if it's
get the money. See my fam if in need, I can't see them hungry.
I stay at home.
Lord, tell me where to go from here. It's cold red in my city till I have no fear. My vision clear. Lord, I ask you to walk with me. Done lost so much, just wanna win. Lord, the lap victory.
It's sad too.
Before they tell us stop and freeze, all they do is draw and squeeze. We've been running for our life for centuries.
I had a dream.
My sin is a sin, a pen is a pen. Either you're wrong or you're right. I hope we all see the end.
It's a light at the end of the tunnel. We in this jungle like the devil trying to take me under.
Yes, sir.
And for all them seats that follow me, protect your essence. Born with lips, but let's put your still presence. One more time
before I let them take my blood, sweat, and tears.
The same bucket, grab my neck, going to 100 years.
Me, I'll give the world.
Don't Yeah. What it is, episode 498 underway, Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin, alongside T-Max with the facts, the Pittsburgh Pat. We got a lot of stuff to go down, man.
This is Pittsburgh Pat, sponsored by Lay's Potato Chips, French's Mustard, the United States Postal Service, Westmoreland County Food Stamps, and Old English and Colt 45 Mall Liquor. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio. How you guys doing?
We good, man.
My man T-Max, what's good, bro?
What's going on, man? What's going on with you? How you?
Look, man, we might have a change of plans tonight, man, because these fucking rappers don't know how to read a clock. And, you know, since there's, 9,000 shows blowing them up for interviews, I guess they forget that we called them. That's a fucking joke. We're the only ones even trying to show these guys love because everybody sits around fucking crying and no one supports them. No one shows love to the legends. Blah, 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 blah. I'm tired of that fucking shit. Fuck that shit. You gotta go out and work for your shit, bro. I'm tired of this. I don't know where you're at, T-Max. Where are you at, Virginia?
Yeah, I'm in Virginia, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. But, you know, we're on different time zones than Eric and shit. I've never once fucked that up. Never once. You know, there's times I gotta be clear with them. Like, okay, man, like, when you say 9 o'clock, do you mean 9 o'clock my time or your time? Like, sometimes we gotta be clear about it. But how the fuck do you mess up? If you told me 9 o'clock Pacific time, do you know what I do? Okay, what time is it Pacific time right now? I'll fucking Google that shit. Oh, okay, if it's 7 o'clock here, it's this time in Pacific time. Okay, bam, done. So all these motherfuckers sitting around going, nobody fucks with the legends no more. Good people fly, fuck that. So one, I'm not giving another grown man flowers. Sorry, pause. I ain't doing that.
Two, flowers.
I'm tired of this crying about, legends don't get their respect. Fuck that, bro. I've made that my whole shtick how fucking long, bro. How many times have we gone live and the guest that I booked didn't show up? Now, I get it. This shit happens to ESPN. It happens to fucking CNN, Fox. It happens to everybody. I get it. But, bro, I've never, why would I waste my time? Like, any guest that ever blew us off, brother, I can promise you, I have receipts to prove that it is not my fault, that I could not possibly be more clear with these motherfuckers at all. So, formerly known as Low Life, now known as New Life, motherfucker got no life. This motherfucker blew us off. I don't care if he calls me 5 seconds. I don't want any of them. Fuck him. He's done. He can call Scott. You get 8 views to talk about K-Reno for 45 fucking minutes. I'm done with these fucking dudes, man. That's why you don't get no views on your songs. That's why nobody buys your record, because you're not a man of your word, and you're lazy. That's all it is. You're lazy, bro. We got...
Fight!
Look, bro, I'm not trying to brag or nothing, because y'all got 56,000 subscribers on YouTube. That's hard to achieve, bro. It's easy to achieve fucking followers on Instagram and friends on Facebook and shit. You can use hashtags and all that. But I know for me, I don't like following people on YouTube. I don't like subscribing to shit because it fucks up my recommended videos and shit. And I don't want a bunch of weird shit on my fucking YouTube when I scroll on. So if I follow something, I actually fuck with it. You know what I mean? So why would you show up to something that has half the fucking subscribers but blow off the one that got double and people that are actually hitting you up to fucking interview you, bro? You had a good album fucking 35 years ago, man. And I'm trying to talk to you and try to give you new life in this fucking rap shit. And fuck, man, we've had interviews that didn't do well at all. We've had interviews that I thought would get us thousands and thousands of views, but they got fucking 60. I don't fucking care, bro. Those 60 fucking people enjoyed the fucking interview. Bro, I did my fucking job. I can't make people watch their shit, but I'm just tired of that shit, bro. Like, I do my part, man. Like, we put a lot of fucking work into this shit, man. Like, yeah, it might just be pressing buttons on a phone and shit, bro, but, like, bro, I had to, like, find a babysitter for my niece tonight and all that shit to do this fucking interview. I got stuck in the fucking rain and shit, bro. Like, you know, if you don't call us in the first spot, man, fuck out of here. Go on with somebody else then, bro. Go call Charlamagne. Go call Vlad. Oh, wait, they don't want to talk to you? Well, then you fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Because I think when it comes to this independent underground shit, bro, like, who's more willing to interview a wide variety of guests than we are? Now, I'll give Scott his credit. He is, too. I'll give him that. But, like, who got as many followers as us that is willing to interview all walks of life in this hip-hop shit? We've been, you know, you guys have had wrestlers, fucking rappers, motivational speakers. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, we interview anybody, man. You interview people that got fucking less than 100 followers, bro. Like, if we like your fucking song, we'll interview you. Like, so it's like, bro, I'm trying to, you know, like, dude, the reason why I was trying to get New Life on the show, bro, is the other day I was talking about the Bone Enterprise, the old Bone Thugs and Harmony shit, that Face of the Death CD, and I was like, yo, like, the three oldest CDs that I have that, like, I bought when they came out, or, like, I've owned them the longest, is I have the Juvenile Being Myself album from before he was on Cash Money. I have...
Oh, wow. You took it back.
I have, Bone Enterprise, Faces of Death. I've had that shit for... Dude, I'm 36. I've had that since I was 7 years old. And I have Fifth Ward Boys, I think, Keep It Poppin'. And I was like, oh, shit. I just realized, I was like, oh, yeah, I interviewed New Life with the Fifth Ward Boys before. I'm going to hit New Life up, man. It's a good interview, man. I'll see what's up with him. He agreed to come on. I just screenshotted the messages I sent to Eric. Like, bro, like, could I have been more clear in that fucking, in the messages? And, like, you've seen he agreed to come on. I gave him the number, the flyer, all that. He gave me a thumbs up, all that. Like, could I have done anything else? You heard me? Like,
well, one thing.
What?
Yeah.
Like.
Well, one thing about it, Pat, McKean, we cannot necessarily, we can't be responsible for what other people do or don't do. The thing is, you did your job, and we are, you know, because you've helped us out more than we can thank you for it. I mean, we're all going to stay professional with it, because the fact of the matter is, one thing is we cannot understate or ignore or forget all the blessings we have to do this. And if one thing about it is the blessing that we have, that we are able to share this platform with so many people, like you said, Pat, you know, we have been blessed to interview chefs. Shout out Chef Shea, of course, out in Vegas. Artists in terms of, you know, painters that sell their shit for thousands of dollars. What up, Sinister Monopoly out of Manhattan? We love you, man. You know, Stevie Ray. You know, I mean, we, you know, wrestling.
Yeah,
wrestling,
I interviewed,
you know,
him. I interviewed him too.
Yeah.
He was one of the more fun interviews I ever did, to be honest with you. I interviewed someone else that same night. I don't remember who, but he was great, bro.
But this is part of the ups and downs we have with it, where people may not necessarily show. And you know what? Just because it doesn't, they don't show, don't mean we're not going to show.
When I first met Eric, and I had Eric on my show, my old show, but Eric had, like, I feel like 1,000 subscribers, like, something like that. Maybe not a thousand, maybe a little more. I don't know. He didn't have that many, you know what I mean? But I was like, bro, like, I listened to his show. I liked it. And I was like, man, I want to have this dude on the show and shit. Like, I hit him up. Like, yo, let me come on your show. I'll come on yours. And, like, bro, I slowly seen, like, what he was doing. I knew he was genuine. And I never gave a fuck, like, how many followers he had or anything like that. Because I just knew he was genuine about what he was doing. So I wanted to rock with him. And, dude, if you go back and look, like, dude, I interviewed, like, 5 different shows or 6 different shows. I was on their show as well. I don't continue to fuck with those people because I don't rock with them like that. I kept in touch with Eric, and slowly I seen, like, oh, 3,000 go to 7,000, and 7,000 go to 17,000, and before I know it, this motherfucker got, like, 55,000. And it's like, I know he did it the right way. Like, he don't put, like, clickbait type shit, just talk about fucking drama. He doesn't try to get you with the gotcha questions and do it like the cheap way. You don't go about the, you know, the DJ Academics way of doing things. You're the Vlad way, you know what I mean? So, like, that's why I always rock with Eric. And I've never, ever in my life gave anybody a guest. Now, like, I might have been cool with an artist that, like, wanted to do as many interviews as possible, so I hooked him up with everybody I knew, but I've never, ever tried to get anybody a guest. Like, as soon as me and Eric got cool, what did I do? I called Jay Hood. I called Spider Loke. I called MC Shan. Like, you know what I mean? I called everybody I thought they might bring a couple extra eyeballs. You know, if they get 10 new eyeballs, that's 10 more people. You know what I'm saying? Like, those 10 people might share the interview, but they're 100 people. You know what I mean? Like, you never know where you're going to stumble upon the right, you know, the right people and shit. You know what I mean? But I rocked with Eric from day one because I knew he was authentic. I knew he was genuine about what he was doing. He wasn't buying views, wasn't buying followers and shit. And, you know, really, that's why I always rock with him. You can ask any of them other shows I interviewed. I never once gave them a fucking guest. Never gave them a contact info, nothing. But the minute me and Eric were cool, bro, like, did I not always break bread with you? You know what I mean? Like, I always, like, yo, I can get you Spider Loke. Yo, I can get you Jay Hood. Get you Shane. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gave everything I had back to Eric, bro, just because I knew what he was doing was genuine. And that's what it the fuck is about. It's not because he got 56,000 subscribers. I respected that because I saw him work to that point. And I didn't care if he had fucking 8 followers. Like, I would have fucking gave him those guests to help boost his followers because I knew what he was doing was real. Wasn't no fraud shit. So, like, you know, the fuck's up. We got a lot going on in hip-hop, man. We got to talk
about
it.
Yeah, man. I was going to say,
because,
hey, yo, T, check this out, y'all. Now, we already know there was an alleged incident that went down between Freddie Gibbs and Benny the Butcher yesterday.
Oh, man.
So now, according to TMZ, the footage has surfaced, yo.
Oh, wow. No shit. They got footage of it.
Now, check my page, though.
Man.
It's on the Off the Cuff Radio page. It's footage of it that just
What, the IG?
Yes.
The Instagram, okay. Hold up. I'm going to go look right now. I'm almost there. Hold up. All right.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't see it, bro.
Oh, it's coming. I had to load it up.
Oh, okay. But yo, that's crazy, man. I saw the pictures, and Freddie looked all lumped up. Now, of course, WAC 100, he said that Freddie got robbed. But, I don't know. Freddie posted shit. Oh, okay, I see the TMZ joint. Freddie Gibbs fight video alleged assault and robbery in Buffalo. Freddie, my man. What's going on? Why is Freddie doing shit like this, though? Like, oh, man. Oh, getting that. Oh, man. Oh, man, he's getting rocked, bro. Oh, there he is right there. He got
shame.
The arrow. Oh, man, he's getting fucked up, bro.
Because you know how a lot of people, they'll go ahead and say, oh, that won't me. Oh, that won't me in the footage. TMZ ain't going to get that wrong.
TMZ is ratchet. They can be ghetto. But one thing about TMZ, even if it's the worst of the shit that happens in the entertainment industry, we got to give it up to TMZ. TMZ,
yeah, bro, they got the money to spend.
And
if you're the person
right.
recording
the
this shit, like, you reach out to TMZ because you know they'll pay you the most for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but TMZ
I know
gets
if
it
I
right.
had footage
of
some
right
shit, I would
time.
Call Vlad or I'd call Harry Jew name, whatever his last name is. But so I would call them to fucking. Yeah, they'll give you the most money, but bro, Freddie's getting worked, bro. We're fucking a minute 15 into this, and it's still not broken up yet. If they did rob him, I'll give him credit.
He's
still got a necklace on.
I was talking to T Max about this too. He's lucky. Jeez, these people didn't get him. They would have stumped the mud hole in him. because I just don't understand why is Freddie doing this?
Like, Freddie got like a second chance at a career and shit after what he went through, bro. Like, that's some crazy foul shit that he went through, bro. Like, I'm glad he got out of it, but bro, he's old as hell, bro. Like, what's he doing? Like,
same as plug the Double XL magazine from about 7-8 years ago for those that may not know that whole story that Pat is referring to in terms of when Freddie was overseas and got caught up in which he was exonerated of, you know, where supposedly he had raped an underage girl, which he did not do, you know, and off the cuff.
Was it underage? Was she underage too?
She was underage. She was underage.
Okay, I don't remember that part. I'm not saying you're wrong. I didn't remember that part of it. But didn't it like turn out to be like the girl like had a dream or some shit? Like,
well,
there's some weird shit like that.
I got to look back at that article to read the particulars of it because, of course, Double XL did the story on it pretty much, I think, after he had gotten out of it because he had said, because you got to remember, this happened overseas. So
yeah,
was
it like Sweden or something?
I think it was Sweden or Germany, I believe. But he had like 11 lawyers working that case because he had to get lawyers on the scene that specialized in international law, you know, especially pertaining to those countries. So he was like, I remember he had a quote. He's like, I had 11 lawyers on my case, so you can do the math on that alone on how much it cost me.
Yeah, I guess that's crazy. He had a second chance at not only life, like, he's lucky he had a second chance at life, for real, but to have a second chance at career, like, and I get, like, at first he was having fun, man, and I get, to be honest, like, I, like, we had that, like a year or two ago at the Grammys where they actually nominated hip-hop albums instead of, like, Cardi B and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get, you know, Nas was up for one, Freddie was up for one, and, like, you know, they kind of did it for, like, hip-hop reasons, you know, to, like, shut up criticism, let's call it what it was, but, and it just seemed like ever since he got that nod and wait, what's that, Eric?
Yeah, they straight mobbed on him.
Oh, but yeah, they fucked him up. But, you know, he got that nod, and he was starting to, you know, he had to join the albums with Alchemist and shit, and, I mean, Freddie was on there. He had the Killer Mike, and I had great records. That Paul Mall joint was great. He was doing with Black Thought. But, I just don't get it. I understand, like, his little beef with Academics for a while. To me, that was just kind of like hip-hop versus, like, the internet, like, guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, how Academics was kind of clowned on by, like, hip-hop heads, but the young kids like him and stuff. So it was kind of like a generational thing. And it was like, he's easy to make fun of. He was just having fun. But then, like, he, like, said something about, like the Academics. I think he was talking about Academics, but he was saying, like, oh, I could have rolled up on you in L.A. and, like, got rid of you and shit, like, pretty much saying, like, yo, I knew where you were, I could have killed you. And it was like, bro, like, it ain't that real, Freddie, like, you know what I mean? But then, like, he had, like, the shit with Jim Jones, where he got in that shit, and now the shit with Benny, and it's like, bro, like, if I got on this line right now and told you I just gotten, like, a fish plate at the gas station and shit, like, I'm about to be 36 years old, wouldn't you be like, bro, you're a little too old to be doing that dumb shit. You know what I'm saying?
But you got to think about it, though, in terms of what happened with Jim Jones. Now, that was a bit more legitimate because that's when Jim was claiming, you know, his gang affiliation, this, that, and the other. And Freddie is a real, Freddie is a real Vice Lord. I've not heard anybody say that Freddie is not from the Vice Lord set. And that's what
I have heard that actually.
Yeah, he is a Vice Lord, you know, Gary, Indiana. He's from there. That's I tell anybody,
yeah, like,
anybody who know, Gary, Indiana ain't nothing sweet. It ain't nice out there.
It's definitely not.
You know?
However, I've heard the accusations that Freddie, I'm not saying that he wasn't with the Vice Lords or anything, but I've heard the accusations that he kind of claimed that after he some money and stuff because, like, his dad is, like, a doctor and his brother's a lawyer or some shit like that. Like, yeah, he comes from, like, a line of professional people. Maybe not even a lawyer, maybe a cop, even a DA or something. Like, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you can find that. Like, he has, like, a doctor's relative and his father's, like, a doctor or a DA or something. I don't know. Something or a cop or something. But people are questioning the fact that if he really grew up how he said he did, they're kind of saying that, like, you know, he ran into some money and just, like, kind of like the Lil Wayne joining the blood thing. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Regardless, you know, like, another thing, but real quick, I want to say the whole thing with Jim Jones, another thing you got to keep in mind is Jim Jones is, like, the king of taking losses. Like, Jim Jones never wins fights. No disrespect. Prodigy was on that list at one time. Let's keep it all the way 100. Prodigy was kind of the king of taking losses for a while, too. But rest in peace, Prodigy. I mean, no disrespect. But Jim Jones, I mean, come on, bro. Like, you always heard stories about Jim Jones being beat up or chased out of places.
Getting
robbed. You know, remember the shit with True Life and shit. You know what I mean? Like, word to True Life, by the way. But they, all that shit's dead. But, you know.
Every time I look
at that, he was in the streets, man.
I think about that True Life, Big State, True York, when he had that skit, I was like, and disclaimer, y'all, off the cuff, we're not trying to roast anybody, but we're just keeping, because all this stuff really happened. But, man, that True York mixtape, where they had that skit where he was doing a bad beat, Call of Jill from prison, and I was like, man, I'm like, Jill, what did you do to this guy to make him to piss him off like that?
Because True Life's my guy, man. I love True Life.
He went ass.
I mean, during the whole Rockefeller demise, man, like, I hated that time period because, like, I love Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And, like, True Life just got on Rockefeller. Lizzie just got on Rockefeller, and he was dissing Cam and the Dipset and Jim Jones, and that shit hurt my heart. But True Life's my guy. He's Saigon's bro and shit. You know what I mean? So, like, that's my guy. That shit was funny as hell, man. That was a dope mixtape, by the way. The True York mixtape.
Yeah.
That was a dope mixtape. But, yeah, Jim Jones is the king of taking losses.
In this situation here, we get some diss records, at least, because they both nice on the mic. Benny and Freddie.
They definitely are, man. And I just, like, for real, like, this is the kind of case where it's like, oh, me too, 100%. But this is the kind of case that's like, you know, when I was younger and, you know, rappers are, you know, like The Game and 50 Cent, like, when they got in their incident, you're like, oh, okay, like, at least these dudes are about what they're rapping about. That's what, but, like, at this point, it's like, yeah, bro, like, these dudes is, like, pushing 40. Like, what are they doing fighting at restaurants and shit? Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand what happened between Benny and Freddie. They were always cool.
They were cool, too. Like, they were doing songs together. Talking about doing
an
album
doing
together.
Shows together. Yeah, like, I just don't know. They work with the same producers and same artists and shit, like, what the fuck happened? And, like, what's going on with Benny? Like, why is he getting into shit? Like, to me, Benny had the most star power out of all of them. I thought that, like, Conway and Gunn, I thought that they kind of had that, like, little Street Forever vibe to where they would be, like, the locks. They would be Styles P and Sheik and Datacares, where, like, they just made that street shit forever, blah, blah, blah. But I thought Benny, I thought that he had the most potential as far as his style, as far as his look, his image, and I feel his talent. I think that Benny had the most, I think he had the most talent as far as making songs goes. I mean, you can argue all day that he was more lyrical and all that shit, but song making ability, I think also that Benny could make the Ja Rule type of record with an R&B chick, and it would be acceptable, just like Jadakiss doing those types of songs. And I thought that he could make the gangster record, the club record, or whatever kind of record you need to make. I thought that he was most cut out for that. You know what I mean? And I think that, I don't know what's happening with Griselda. I don't know. Like, we heard the rumors about them splitting up. they parted ways with Shady. I don't know what's going on with their Roc Nation shit, but I don't know what's going on with those dudes, man. But they had a promising future. And, I mean, I heard from some incredible people that, like, Jay was about to fuck with them heavy. And I mean heavy. Like
in terms of doing
what he did,
heavy, like
what he did for Jay Electronica heavy. Like dropping an album with those guys heavy. And I heard that from somebody that, like, might not be Jay's right-hand man or anything like that, but from somebody that definitely touches that circle from time to time, that, you know, like, he heard that, and, like, just from the, like, what we've seen in the public kind of was backed up by actions. I mean, you can find videos of Jay with Conway and all that shit, like, you know, with that cow song that he got after he, like, cried on stage performing. He got off stage and, like, hugged Hove and shit, and, like, you know, Benny was talking about, like, yo, like, Hove really fucks with us. Like, he listens to our shit. Like, he'll repeat bars to me and shit. Like, bro, like, I heard from a reliable source that, like, you know, like I said, not, it wasn't like Jay's right hand or nothing, but it was somebody that, like, definitely has been in those circles and shit, saying that Jay was about to rock with those guys heavy. But, I mean, fuck, that was 3-4 years ago now. And, like, look at Griselda, dude. Like, what happened to them? Like, I mean, I know that they're brothers and cousins and shit, but, like, bro, like, that movement is not what it was a couple years ago. They did not go the route that we thought they were going to take.
What happened is they started getting more notoriety, and that came with more so egos. Because, you know, the energy changed when the money come.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not talking down on anybody or not, but they say money don't change you. It brings out who you really are, you know? So take that from what you will, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know any personally or anything, but, like, maybe the money fucked those guys up to where... Yeah, but when you get three guys as talented as those guys that kind of all have that character to them where they could all draw their own, like, their own fans, you know, like, you'll meet guys that are strictly West Side Gun fans because he, like, includes the wrestling shit, and, you know, like, he has more of, like, a, you know, he makes it easy to be a follower of his. And Conway, of course, like, he got that grimy street shit going for him. And Benny, I think Benny, like I said, he has the look, the image, the style, the charisma, with all that, where everybody can like Benny. You know what I mean? And I think that they could all, maybe they all just have different opinions. And, you know, I mean, and plus we kept seeing, like, Benny wasn't in the Shady deal. And then, like, one, I think, who was it? Was it Gunn? Well, either Gunn or Conway was left out of the Roc Nation deal. So, like, I don't know. Like, maybe that has something to do with it. Like, they were making moves behind each other, you know, like, without each other. And, like, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And then, plus, you got to think, like...
Even with Benny, I'm not Benny, Conway, where he talked about he signed that Shady, not that Shady deal, but the Griselda Records. He's no longer with them no more. He said he didn't even read the contract, and he wasn't really compensated for what he felt was his compensation, but it's still love at the end of the day. So it's kind of like a situation where we saw with Wu-Tang, where, you know, it was a brother unit, and soon as, you know, they started getting bigger and out there, then you start getting more entourages, you start getting more people, more accountants, more different managers. Everything is pretty much different. You're in a different space.
You know,
And I think, like, the fans somehow, like, I do think fans have an impact sometimes, because, like, when we hear a group like Griselda and we compare them to people like Mobb Deep and the Lox and everything, it's like we kind of, like, it's like we want them to be what we want them to be. Like, we don't want to, like, they make one wrong move and all of a sudden it's like, oh, they ain't shit. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, sometimes artists get caught up in that as well. You know what I'm saying? To where, like, we wanted them to be the Lox. And it's like, let them be Griselda. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but and you like got... I said, man, like, maybe, I don't think maybe they even expected to really get these deals and make it in these different spaces and shit to where, like, maybe all three of them ended up wanting different things. And, like, who knows? Like, for real, there's no way to tell, really.
Well, you got to think about it, too, y'all, in terms of how long Griselda Records has been around, because it's really been around in earnest since 2004.
Benny
raps
on
Time to Talk 3. Yeah, Benny raps on Time to Talk 3 about how they were all locked up in 2006. So they all have had life situations. By the grace of God, they've all made it through. Now, what you said, Pat, is perfect. It was a perfect segue to my comment, because when you kind of... They were always nice, but when you look at a lot of their stuff, whether West Side Gun, you know, Conway's The Devil's Reject, or, you know, West Side Guns, Hitler and Hermes, or Benny's My First Brick, you know, I mean, when you see the progression over the years of what they have been able to do, not only as a unit, but, you know, individually, they have had a rise. Pretty much, Wu-Tang pretty much when they came in, and you got to think about it, y'all. We're older, so we remember when Wu-Tang, but when Wu-Tang came in, it was like we heard Protect Your Neck on the radio, and them boys was off and running after that. They were off and running. This is before, like, they didn't really have a mixtape buzz out of New York. It's like they just dropped the video and the song, and boom, they was off and running. Griselda, it was a bit of a longer ride for them to get to the top, but when they got it, they got it. Once they were on the Late Show with Jimmy Fallon, they did Dr. Birds. That was their introduction to a worldwide audience. They really got them out there. But the thing is also, too, is like you said, King and Pat, you're looking at a situation where as your notoriety grows, the ambitions become altered. Everybody has a different vision of what their career should be. Y'all know me. I'm a huge Griselda fan. I think Benny, in terms of just emceeing, is just. I tell anybody, you just got to listen to some of the bars that man puts together in terms of how he structures his rhymes. I mean, Benny, he's on that pace to become one of the all-time greats if he keeps this up. What he's doing, he's on that direction. But also too. But he also had a situation earlier this year where he got caught up, where he was named as a suspect in a robbery of some $10,000 earrings.
I never heard of that. I heard about him getting
This happened back in February. He was supposed. I'm not going to get too much in it because I'm not going to. All I'm going to say is he was named as a suspect in it. Those who want to know about the details, go online, read TMZ about it. It'll have the details.
Whatever, DJ Vlad. We know what you're doing.
but the situation with Benny is, you know, you see that, and that it hasn't stopped his momentum, but you're seeing stuff, and you're just hoping that okay, this isn't a sign of other things to come. Now this whole situation that has happened with Freddie Gibbs and his people. This is one thing about it. Like Benny said on the closing on West Side Guns, who made the Sunshine album on 98 Sabres, when he had that line, all this G shit I taught, nobody's challenged it. He's fucking right, because I've never heard anybody say none of them Griselda boys are weak in the street. I've never heard anybody say
nothing like that.
Not real on the block. I have not heard anybody say that they faking, that they capping. Everything I've heard about them boys, they really, really were with the shit in the street from a young age, like 14, 15, they was out there doing it. So when you're looking at the situation, what's happened with Benny and the thing is, somebody got touched in this situation with Gibbs. This could turn real ugly, and I'm hoping cooler heads prevail because,
I think it's too late for that. You know, to be honest, I mean, their line's already been crossed. I mean, fuck it.
You're right.
I mean, I could find you posts of mine from years ago. I'll be completely honest. Like, I'm not saying I don't like any of it or anything like that, but, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Conway and West Side Gun, like, to be honest. Like, I think they're supremely talented, and I love a lot of their shit. Like, you know, like, there's times I put a Griselda playlist on and shit, and, like, I like their shit. But, like, Benny's been my guy. Like, I always
felt like he was special.
I always felt that he was the one with the most potential. And, you know, like I said, I'm not in any way trying to say that Gunn and Conway, like, aren't talented or anything like that. Like, they've made plenty of songs that I like a lot. I'm just not really into them all like that. But Benny, on the other hand, like, I feel that Benny could do any kind of music he wanted to do, any kind of song he wanted to do. I think he had the most star power, most potential, and all that. But I don't mean to be the controller of the show or anything like that by any means. But I feel that we have to talk about something else, and it's the main topic. And I feel that I'm gonna get killed for what I'm gonna say about it.
We got to talk about this situation with Castanova in terms of him pleading out.
I wish Castanova the best. I like Castanova. I don't really listen to his music or anything, but I like Castanova. I think he's a real street dude. I believe that he's a genuine guy, and I think it's awful what's happening to him. I hate the fact that he took what seems to be an open plea. And for anybody listening to this, an open plea is the absolute worst thing you can ever do. But sometimes they corner you like that.
Yeah.
An open plea is pretty much just like saying, hey, I know my max is 100 years. I'll plead guilty if you don't give me 100 years. And they can give you 99, and they're living up to their end of the deal. And just so everybody understands this as well, I've been through every kind of court there is. I've been in the feds. I've done plenty of time on state. A plea bargain, you can make any kind of deal you want with the district attorney. The judge does not have to accept anything. The judge can look at him and be like, wait, 5 years? No. Well, I'm giving you fucking 20 years. You know, a plea bargain is not an automatic thing for one. But the fact that he pled guilty and has to wait until December to find out what he's getting, they put him in the hole for no reason, and now they put him on suicide watch, which I want to also make clear to everybody that if you're in prison, I don't really know what the cutoff is, but if you're in prison or in jail and you plead guilty, or you're found guilty or anything like that of a serious crime and you're looking at a lot of time, they usually put you on suicide watch until you can see a doctor, which is usually just like 3 to 5 days. And it's just a safety precaution. It has nothing to do with Casanova at all. Like, just the fact that he pled guilty to something and he can be looking at a lot of time, they'll put him on suicide watch. He'll be off suicide watch most likely any day. Like, until he talks to a psychiatrist, like the psych doctor, that's all he has to do. So anybody that heard that part, that he's in the hole, that's the reality. That's a fact. Like, trust me, like I said, unfortunately, like, I've been through the system. I know what it is. Like, if you get found guilty at trial or you take a plea for, I think it might be 15 years or above that, anytime you're looking at a lot of time, once, like, you get that, the jail will put you on suicide watch just until you see a psych doctor. So, anybody that hears that part of it, like, don't take that too serious. You heard me? But I hate the fact that he could get 5 years. He could get 60 years. I mean, there's no way to tell. It hurts me that these guys are getting, AR App got all that time. Now Fred, now that he's going to get all the time, we see what's happening with Thug and Gunner. Like, who's Steve even? I mean, there's all kinds of good. But I mean, like, on my end, I mean, BG and C Murder, and we see what happened to Mac and all those guys. Like, it hurts to see this shit. And, the whole losing rap work, I agree that, like, if you just say in a song like, yeah, I'm a killer, I'm a gangster, yeah, they shouldn't be able to use that against you in court. But like, if you have an open case, you're being investigated for killing Steve, and in your song you're like, yeah, I killed Steve on Christmas Eve. Hey, bro, like, they're going to use that, and, like, they kind of should be able to, like, because, like, you're confessing to a fucking, you know, specific crime, you know? But, like, just by saying I'm a gangster, I'm a killer, no, they shouldn't be able to use that against you in court, you know? So, I know with Casanova, they got Instagram messages, all that, and it's just like, come on, man, like, these guys around the same age as me. Imagine in 2001, if you're hanging out smoking weed with your friends and all of a sudden somebody pulled out a video camera. What would your reaction be? Like, well, you would flip the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't play that shit. It's like, I understand we live in different times, but at the same time, like, yo, live by those same kind of rules, man. Why are you guys talking about shit like that on Instagram? And yeah, you know, I mean, like, it's just so wild, man. But I don't know what you guys want to say about Casanova. All I'm saying is, like, man, it honestly hurts me to my heart that he took this plea, and, like, I hope he gets out in a reasonable amount of time, man. I really do.
Well, one thing about it, y'all, we, as journalists, this is our job in terms of reporting and commentating. We're never out to, you know, to lambast anybody or belittle. But we do talk about from a reality perspective what it means when you have an opportunity. And we want this situation and any situation for anybody to understand that rap is, to be a successful rapper is like hitting a home run. You know, you have a chance to do it, but it doesn't mean you're going to do it. But when you hit it, you better round those bases to get home and make sure that you don't have a stop on the play. Because when you are successful, inevitably, imminently, there are going to be troubles. There are going to be the troubles of the business, and then there are going to be troubles of your past following behind you. And you have to be careful to understand that your life has changed once you become a public figure. And the most important thing is understanding that that your life has changed is leaving your old life behind. And when you're dealing with what happened with Casanova, this was a federal investigation that nabbed 17 people. So this wasn't a little shit that he was going to get out of. When the feds come knocking on your door, and this was a federal RICO case, they got everything. We're just going to put it out there on Off the Cuff. We're going to say it. We don't care. We are all about the people. This is free legal advice, and y'all may know this already. When the feds knock on your door, they already have the key, and they're just going to open up the door. They just knock on it as a courtesy. They already have everything.
Yeah, the feds aren't even really, like I said, unfortunately, I've been through the state system and the feds. The feds aren't really interested in taking a plea bargain to save people's time during that. Like, that's the way they, like, really accept plea bargains is, like, okay, like, you know, we got you. You're fucked. We could convict you and go to trial and all that, and we're going to win. And we could get you 50 years.
They want everybody involved.
Yeah. They can always be like, look, to save everybody's time, like, you know, we got you. We'll give you 20 years if you just fucking plead guilty. Like, they might do something like that. Now, the state's a different thing. Like, the state sometimes, arrest you off of a hunch and hope that you'll just, like, confess to something, or they can scare you into confessing and all that. So, like, they don't always have that much on you. So, like, a lot of this shit with Young Thug that I've been reading, some of it, some of it, it looks bad and all that, but a lot of that stuff, I honestly don't think will stick. And I think that he can beat some of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like that rap lyric they're using against them, and about, like, you know, I never told nobody, but it's gonna do with that body or something. So that's nothing. That there's no detail in that lyric that points to anything. That's a a blanket statement that you could be talking about anything, like any kind of thing. It can just be like, oh, I'm
but
a rapper.
Pat, we got to ask you this, too. We got to ask you this, too, Pat. What are the odds that the Feds could intervene and pick it up?
That's what happened tomorrow. Anytime that I I have a conviction on my record of a firearm. Okay, I get caught with a 22, a little hooker pistol, if I get caught with that at the gas station tonight, they'll arrest me. It's a state case and everything. But however, the feds are going to be notified that A, I got caught with a gun. B, I'm a convicted felon with a gun. So they'll be notified. They'll look at it. They might turn it down. They might pick it up. Who knows? Now, when I'm talking about somebody like Young Thug, all those people, you know, that the feds can easily step in until we got. They can look at the evidence they have. They can go in. The feds can go in and question people without it being their case. They can go in and question people. Now, the fact that they weren't working on the case makes it kind of a little more unlikely, just because they don't, you know, they didn't do the work themselves, so they're a little iffy about it sometimes. But that is definitely a possibility, especially the part that I think is the worst for Young Thug is the fact that they caught him with, when they arrested him, they caught him with guns and shit in his house.
Yeah,
like that also, might, I mean, he can beat the entire case, but being caught with that could end up hurting him a lot.
But you got to think about this too, though, King and Pat, that situation about YFN Lucci, because, you know, he got hit in prison in terms of stabbed a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And now there's a question of, did Thug and them have him hit? And if this is a situation... Yeah. Did they, if this is a situation where they actually find credible evidence that suggests that this was an attempted murder, because they already have a murder on the indictment already.
Okay, but here's the difference between the feds and the state. Here's the difference between
right.
them. If this was the federal, if this was the feds, and they were talking about the YFN Lucci shit, they would have already had a statement from Lucci. They would have had people in jail testifying and writing statements. They would have all of that already. As of right now, the state, they're kind of just going off of hearsay and all that type of shit. If YFN Lucci refuses to cooperate, that charge is easy to get thrown out because the victim's not cooperating. There's nobody giving any extreme detail. So, like, that's the right there, that's a perfect example of the difference between the state and the Fed. If this was the Fed, they would already have a statement from YFN Lucci. They would have a recording of them putting the video. They would have 10 people saying, I know that this happened. He did this. He paid him this. Blah, 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 blah. The state, they might have some fucking dope sick junkie in a fucking jail cell that just wants to go home today and get a fix. It's saying, Steve told me that this was Young Thug putting him out. And, bro, they'll charge him with it, just hoping that one of Young Thug's people will snitch on him. Like, that's how loose the state can actually go. Like, you know, the state, I could get caught with something and just say, but look, like, T-Max killed this guy. And if I have one other person that'll say that, bro, they'll come and arrest you, and that's their entire fucking case. I got convicted of a robbery. All it was this junkie bitch said that me and her ex-boyfriend robbed this person. That's the only evidence they had. The victim couldn't even identify us or anything, but they just had this junkie bitch that said this shit. It was mad because they broke up and he stole money off of her or some shit. They convicted me of that. I lost a trial over that. But that's how little the state will jump on a case, because their whole thing is just fear. Like, when you, if you get arrested, like, say you go outside and you punch somebody in the stomach right now. You don't injure them long term or nothing like that, but they call the cops. When you go in front of the judge, the first judge to get arraigned, he's going to say that the maximum penalty is 25 years. So you're in your head thinking, what? I punched this guy, I'm going to get 25 years? So you're scared. So you go to your preliminary hearing and they're like, look, your max is 25 years, man. But if you just, if you plead guilty, we'll just give you a year probation. And you just heard 25 years in prison. Now you're hearing a year probation. You're like, fuck yeah, I'll take a year probation. Meanwhile, reality would, you know, logic would tell you like, oh, they obviously don't really have nothing on me, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But they use fear to get you because the state, like, they don't, all those people that work for the DA, all that shit, they're all trying to get promoted. So they don't really give a fuck how much time they give you. They just want the conviction. They could give you one day in jail for selling a pound of fentanyl. As long as they have, when it's time to run for head DA, they can be like, oh, I got this many fentanyl convictions. I got fentanyl off the street, so get people to vote for him and all that shit. They're just working to get promoted. So they run their whole operation on fear. The feds, they run their whole operation on dominating and being the force that controls everybody. You heard me? Like, that's what they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, like, to me, I've heard a couple of things about the Young Thug thing to where it's like, yeah, that looks kind of bad for him and all that. But there's no way that the feds would have arrested him for any of that. You know what I mean? Like, the feds wouldn't have scooped him up just for the stuff that we know. Like, we don't know everything about him yet. You know what I mean? But, like, the stuff that I've seen, yeah, there's a couple things that make him look bad. But I don't really see anything that, like, the feds would have picked him up for as of right now. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to get one thing out. If you don't like someone's music and you're fucking clowning them because they're in jail or anything, you are way more whack than any their music could ever fucking be. I can't even name you a fucking Young Thug song. And he's on Cash Money. You know what I'm saying? Like, a label that I've fucked with my whole life. I don't even know any of his fucking songs. I don't like the dude. I don't like the dude's image. I don't like the dude's music. I probably won't ever listen to a fucking song of his. Man, I don't like seeing that, bro. You know how many people's lives are affected by that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the fucking secretary at the office is feeding their fucking kids and shit. Like, her life's affected by it. I don't give a fuck how much you don't like somebody's fucking you, man. This shit ain't something to fucking laugh about, man. And, yeah, you laugh about shit like that, you're way more whack than they could ever be. And one more thing, I don't know much about this artist or anything, but rest in peace to Little Keed. He was an artist on YSL, at Young Thug's label.
Yeah.
He got a kidney failure. Stop all the fucking rumors out there that he was found dead in a Hellcat because he snooched on Young Thug and they shot him. All that dumb shit. There's other ones that he overdosed. All that dumb shit. Quit with that bullshit, man. He died of kidney failure. I don't know anything about the dude. I don't know nothing about his music. Rest in peace to that dude, though, man.
Yeah,
and,
man.
I honestly, the bottom of my heart, dude, is that I'm no fan of Young Thugs. I've made fun of him many times. I don't like his music. I mean, I don't think it's made for me. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, it's not, you know, nobody gets in the booth and makes songs for 36-year-olds, you know what I mean? So, I get it. It's not for me or anything like that. So, that's why I don't talk shit on it, because, like, he didn't make that shit for me to like it. You know what I mean? But if he got 100 years, I would be upset about it. I don't want nothing bad to happen to him like that, man. I hope he finds his way out. Just like NBA YoungBoy, I don't know nothing about that fucking dude, man. But like, I hope he makes it out of his situation and all that shit. I don't like to see anybody fucking sit in jail and all that shit. That's just terrible, man. These people got kids, they got parents. You know. And people that have never been in those types of situations are the ones laughing and shit. There's nothing funny about it. And,
one thing about
that,
before we
call it a night, man, we got to talk about it. Like I said, in no way am I trying to leave the show or anything, but we got to talk about the Kendrick album, guys. So, I sent you guys the entire album. Why don't you guys go ahead and tell me your opinions? Go ahead, guys.
I think Kendrick has still got it. It's just...
Well, I'm sorry, guys. Sorry about that. What's that?
I think Kendrick still has it. I mean, it's just Kendrick has dominated pretty much the rap game from when he started with Section 80 in 2011. And pretty much Kendrick had an undefeated streak for like a good 5-6 years. I mean, he's taken the game to another level that really that it's like it's just it's hard to really just express how much that man has had an impact on the culture. And this record is probably his most personal, his most revealing from his personal life.
Okay. Hey, Eric, I would like your opinion. But wait, hold on. T-Max, out of 10, what do you give it?
Okay.
Out of 10, what do you give it to?
I give it about, I'm not going to call it a classic just yet because I got to let it marinate a little bit more to see if it really makes a classic status. I would give it an 8.
An 8? Okay, all right. King Eric, I need your opinion, man.
So far from what I'm listening to it, I'm liking that he's taking more artistic risks than he has because I could tell that this is a type of album that a lot of people hasn't really expected from him, and he's tackling a lot of taboo topics. And production-wise, I kind of like the production, but you also got to realize that it got to be a move for that type of music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You ain't gonna be able to play for, you ain't gonna be able to play it in the gym, you ain't gonna be able to even play it in the whip. It's a type of vibe.
Yeah, it's the music I sit down and listen to.
Yeah,
okay.
Because he's that type of artist. He's that type of artist where he just want to focus more on his content and less off the production, and that can help him and that can hurt him. It's kind of like with Nas, and that's why Nas, he kind of like picks certain producers. So I'm liking with what I hear, even though some of the topics I can't really vibe with, but at the same time I appreciate somebody really taking an effort and,
I respect the risk. I respect the risk. Being a guy from, where's he from? Compton?
Yeah.
I respect that, you know. But, okay, what do you give it? Out of 10, what do you give it?
I haven't heard it all yet. But I'm like, so far I'm giving it about a 7 out of 10 for what I heard so far.
Okay, and I'm not going to jump out the box, and I'm not going to be harsh just to be harsh or anything like that. But however, when we talk about great artists, and we talk about like the timeless artists, the Hall of Fame type artists, we talk about people like Jay, and we talk about Nas. And I think we can all agree that 444 isn't something you can play in the club or in the gym or anything like that. So,
no, that's a
however, in my opinion. Yeah, in my opinion, I think 444 is a great album.
It is.
Nas has been putting out great music and everything. However, I also feel that Nas puts out music that people forget about. I think that if we found, I think way more than 75%, if you put a gun to the people to call Nas the GOAT, if you put a gun to their head and said name 3 songs off of any album after, let's say Hip Hop is Dead, they won't be able to do it. They'll be able to name the Lauren song, the Firm song, the Eminem song, and that's about it. Now, with this Kendrick album, if I'm just going off talent alone, I would give it about a 9 if I was going off talent. But I'm judging it on a, I can put on Wu-Tang's 36 Chambers for just about anybody that likes rap, and they'll either like the album or they'll at least understand why the album is loved. I don't think I can say
that's
that about this
that.
Kendrick album. I don't think I can say this about the Kendrick album.
That was brilliant.
What's
what
that?
You just said. That was brilliant what you just said about the Wu-Tang album. if you use it in terms of people who will like it, or they'll understand why the album is loved. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I like, there's a lot of shit like that. Like, there's a lot of music, there's stuff that I'm just simply not into, but I totally get it. I totally understand why people like it, and there's stuff that I think that is, it's very good. It's just not really what I'm into. So, you know, like, I might just personally might not fuck with it, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't think I can say that about this Thunder album. I think that the beats will sometimes come off as, for lack of a better word, weird, to where, like, you can't even really bob your head to them because you can't really get a rhythm to fucking bob your head to them. The content, so, I think, in a lot of cases, I think the content, I think some of it, if he tries to be deep for the sake of being deep, where I, like, what I mean by that is, it doesn't come off as sincere to me. And when you're rapping about Drake and Kanye's relationship, I didn't really get the whole tranny talk on there about we used to say faggot and all that stuff. Like, I don't know, man. It's really, like, when we talk about classic albums and shit, and when we talk about the greats and all that, like, if you didn't like 444 by Jay, you at least got it. You at least understood where he was and all of that, man. But, like, I don't know, man. I don't feel that I got, if he wanted to go the deep route and all that, I get it. But I felt that he could have at least gave a couple joints for the lyrical heads and the, you know, maybe a high energy song for everybody to fuck with. If he did give us that, I already forgot about it to where it didn't stick with me. Now, I will admit that halfway through it, I kind of lost interest. And when I listened to the second half, I kind of zoned out and didn't really pay attention to it. But I think that kind of speaks for what I feel about the album. To me, like I said, if I was given it a basis on talent, I would give it a very high ranking. But for me, maybe I will regret saying this, and after I listen to it more. But, I mean, honestly, for me, it's a 3.5. I thought about that long and hard. And in no way do I hate Kendrick Lamar. I like Kendrick a lot. Even if I don't listen to him a lot, I respect the fuck out of him. I respect the fact that he understands how great he is and that he, you know, he's kind of looked at as like the hip-hop savior of this generation along with J. Cole. And he tries to live up to that, and I respect that. And I always wish him to do well, and I mean that, like, because I don't want Kendrick to fall off, because if Kendrick falls off, that might be it for people that like lyricism. You know what I mean? Because if Kendrick falls off, that means Cole can fall off. That means that everybody lyrical is going to fall off. You know what I mean? So I always root for him. You know what I mean? I root for him. I hope this album does good. I saw something that it sold like 350,000 this week. I don't think anybody even really knows what a record sale is nowadays, so I think that's good.
True, man. That's
but,
true.
But, you know, but yeah.
But Pat,
I hate to give it a harsh rating, man.
Pat,
I just, yeah.
Pat, we got to ask you this, too. If this is considered Kendrick's weird album, how would you compare it on Kanye's Dark Twisted Fantasy? And I've said my shit about Kanye on the show, but I've also said that Dark Twisted Fantasy is a fucking brilliant album.
I think, to be honest, even though, like, a lot of those songs aren't, like, the type of shit I listen to or anything like that, but I honestly think that the Dark Fantasy album by Kanye is, I legitimately believe that it's one of the best albums that were ever made. And
it is.
I don't even really listen to that album. Like, it's not something that I really like listen to and I really fuck with. And the reason I say that is because there's all different kinds of emotions in it. but it's also shit that people can relate to. You know what I mean? There's shit that you can feel in that shit. There's high energy records. There's lyrical records. There's shit for the hip hop heads. You know, like, you know, Raekwon's on that album. Raekwon's on that album. I feel like it had a little bit of everything. I thought that it was it didn't sound like anything else we ever heard in a good way. And yeah. So like I said, I don't sit there and listen to that album that often at all. I mean, there's a few songs I like here and there, but
like I said, I've said my shit about Kanye on the show, but I've said that that is a high watermark for him. When he did Dark Twisted Fantasy and I really listened to it, I'm like, this album is unbelievable. I mean, like you said,
it's amazing.
It's like,
it was crazy. What's crazy about these rappers, too, is that he said in an interview recently that he ranks that album as his least favorite.
Yeah, but in a way, I kind of understand that because and because of how unique that album is, what he probably went through to pull that album off with the production, the features, where to place everybody. I mean, dude, he put, you know, Jay, Nicki Minaj, and Ross and all them on a record together. They probably had some kind of debate on who should go last, who follows who. It was probably a highly stressful album to make. And to where the point where, like, he probably realized that it was something special after a few songs, and he probably listened to every song 30 fucking times, and he probably hates it. So, like, what we think of songs, like, I mean, how often do we hear, like, we'll hear an artist talk about an album or a song that they make, and they tell us that they can't even listen to it, they fucking hate it. And that's because, like, genius... A true artist and a true, like, special artist. You know, I hate to use the word genius, but, like, a genius in a musical sense. When they make something that they know is special, it fucking, to them, it sucks. Because, like, they had to put so much into it, and they knew what it was going to be.
They stressed over it.
And, you know, but to me, with the Kendrick album, like I said, I feel like some of this shit was, like, deep just for the sake of being deep. I didn't really get, like, a sincere feeling off of some of it. I mean, you could say, oh, what do you mean? You said this, and you can have some complex shit. That's just Kendrick. He's just he's a very talented guy, and he'll know how to say some deep shit in a slick way that's effortless to him. So... I don't know, man. He's in L.A. He's a beloved artist. You know, like, J. Cole gets way more hate than Kendrick does. I don't know if it's because he's affiliated with Jay or what, but J. Cole fans look forward to hearing Kendrick albums. When J. Cole releases albums, Kendrick fans diss the J. Cole albums. And that's
a
fact.
That's an odd dynamic. That's an odd dynamic.
You know,
what,
it's a weird dynamic.
We know why, T-Max.
Why is that?
They don't want to see light-skinned brothers win, man.
But I don't know what it is. I think, I mean, like, the West Coast is beloved. Dr. Dre's beloved, and Kendrick is, too. He's, like, the good guy of hip-hop, which I don't think J. Cole's a villain or anything. It's just... he's affiliated with Jay-Z, so he gets a little bit of hate, but, like, Kendrick fans just seem to be, like, Kendrick's the GOAT, and they look at J. Cole as, like, the comparison to him, so they kind of, it's kind of like
Drake
the Jay-Z
Nas thing.
I think
Drake get hated more than both of them combined.
Who, Drake? Oh, Drake gets hated,
he's
yeah.
Of that
I
class.
Mean, yeah, he definitely does, and, Jake's easy to hate, though, kind of, because there's the whole ghostwriting thing. There's the singing shit. He's just kind of like he's corny. You know what I mean? But I don't hate Drake. I mean, to me, like, I don't look at him as, like, some supreme MC or anything like that. But I do feel that it does take some kind of, I don't care if somebody writes every single song of his. It does take something, some kind of talent to be able to perform those songs in a way that people will fuck with you for this long. It's a level at that level. And I don't have a problem with Drake. I don't like him. I don't listen to his shit at all. But I don't have a problem with him. I just don't really look at him how I look at, like, Jay-Z and all that. And, you know, but Drake definitely gets the fucking hate. And I think he did. To be honest, Eric, that's the first time I ever even thought of that, though.
It goes back to what he affiliated.
That's the first. No, go ahead, Eric. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it goes back to what you said. It's based on who you're affiliated with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like Jay. A lot of people don't like Wayne. Dr. Dre, he's one of the most beloved guys in rap. So,
Dr. Dre did right was he stayed the fuck away, you know? When you think about Eminem, man, like, people hate on Eminem, and, like, yeah, the way, like, here's why Eminem is so much hate, though, and it's because we all know that, and Eminem knows, too, that, like, the white boy thing does matter. Eminem knows that, and it's not to say that he's not talented or anything like that. I think we all agree that Eminem is a fucking supreme fucking talent, dude. But if Jay-Z was making songs about having sex with Dame Dash, we would never let him live that down. Biggie quoted a Richard Pryor joke and still gets shit to this day about it. You know, how many times have we heard Eminem talk about having sex with Dr. Dre? And imagine if on the Dynasty album, Beanie Siegel was talking about having sex with his grandmother. That would be the wackest shit ever. We wouldn't fuck with him at all. But Eminem did that, and Bizarre did that, and we let Eminem go. And it's because he's the funny white boy, and blah, blah, blah. He's from Michigan, and, you know, there's people that hate rap music. They hate black people. They fucking hate everything. But they like Eminem. You know, so he does what, and anybody says he doesn't benefit from being white, but they're just simply wrong. I mean, I'm not even hating on Eminem for that. He's a talented white rapper, and he came at a time where a bunch of different shit was popular. If you go back and look at all the rap albums from 1998, 1999, and 2000 that sold very well, that got certified gold and platinum and shit, you can go anywhere you want. Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, DMX, the fucking Insane Clown Posse, Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit, fucking, you know, everybody was selling records at that time. So Eminem came at a fucking time that everybody was selling records. He was different, all that. So there's people that love country music, and that's all they fucking listen to. But they love Eminem too. You know what I mean? And, like, that's not Eminem's fault by any means. Now, like I said, he benefits and gets criticized for the shit that he talks about. And I like the fact that he went away for a little bit because he was addicted to low-grade sleeping pills, because he's a sissy when it comes to doing drugs. My favorite rappers are fucking heroin addicts because they're fucking grown-ups. But but you know, Eminem has gained his fan base and all that. Dr. Dre has made it a point. Yeah, that he masterfully did this too. Like, I'll never not respect Dre for this, man. I have so much respect for what Dre did. The way he played his career is the most masterful shit that I've ever seen in my life.
That is
this
true.
Dude has this all fucking thinking that he has this fucking album coming out. Let me tell you something. Detox is never coming out, and it makes no fucking sense for him to ever put it out. Why put it out? Like, for what? So people can say it sucks and it wasn't worth the wait? We've been waiting 20 years now. So, like, well, not 20, but close, but like, there's no way it could ever live up to the anticipation now. Even if he had 20 songs that were bangers, there's no way that it can live up to any expectations now. So, but he never has said that it's never coming out. So, it's still a thing that we think that could happen. But it's about as likely as Tupac coming back. You know what I mean? Now, he didn't let fame get to him. Everything that those dudes dropped, he was in the spotlight for. You know, he had an album with Nas and AZ and Foxy and shit as the firm. Didn't really do that well, but he has that in his back pocket. But he gave us Eminem. He gave us 50. He gave us The Game. He gave us Kendrick Lamar. So he has this shit. Like, people look at him as, like, this guy that, like, gives us all these stars and shit. But he stayed out of the spotlight. He stayed away from dropping albums, stayed away from the drama. And, I mean, yeah, he's had the drama early in his career and all that, but he stayed out, you know, he wasn't dropping albums every other year or anything like that. So he had this, like, little mystery to him and all that.
Scarcity created that mystery, because Dre is a guy, for the most part, like you said, Pat, he doesn't really put himself out there like that. You know, Dre is a dude that he comes out when he needs to come out, but other than that, and he is, and what you said, Pat, is really, really that's deep, because the thing is, more artists need to understand that we don't need to see your personal life all the time. Even with Jay doesn't always jump out on everything, you know. Nas don't jump out on everything, you know. Jeezy don't jump out on everything. Shout out to CTE, my crew. It's like, you know, these dudes, they understand what it means to just be home chilling, kicking their feet up, you know, hugged up with their boo. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, don't nobody need to really be. It's like, it's okay. People got to understand in the show business, it's okay to kick back at home and be boring. Don't nobody need to know your life like that. It's okay.
Exactly.
We are not invested in your life like that, where we want to see everything. I'm like, look, we are okay if you go home and chill the fuck out. Vince Earth, just relax. We are okay. We will still be fans of music. You know?
See, like, the two dumbest things that Dr. Dre could ever fucking do is put Detox out or tell us Detox is never coming out. He should just let it live for whatever the fuck it is. Like, let people
we
think whatever.
We do
want to
hear Detox, though.
We
do want to hear.
Every so often, maybe make us think that it's coming out. But, like, there's no possible way he could release the greatest album of all fucking time. And there's always going to be that percentage of people that says, oh, this shit, sorry, wasn't worth the 15-year wait. Like, there's absolutely nothing for him to gain by putting him out. I mean, bro, he's a member of NWA. He has The Chronic. He has 2001. He has G-Unit, the Get Rich or Die Trying. He has fucking Eminem. He has Kendrick Lamar, The Game. Like, he has all that shit. Why the fuck would he give a fuck about having one more good album? Like, why would he care about that? You know what I mean? If you really think about it, like, why the fuck would he give a fuck about that? And he doesn't. He got millions and billions of dollars for the headphones and shit. Like, he stands to gain absolutely nothing from dropping an album that, regardless of its quality, will be criticized and say it's not worth the wait. So
it's going to be picked apart because everybody's a critic these days.
Oh, my God, man. I get on Facebook and I see people saying, as promised, my Kendrick Lamar review is coming out. Like, motherfucker, who are you? Like, like, I hate that shit. Like, I hate the fact that the internet is giving people this false fucking impression that their fucking opinion matters, bro. My opinion don't fucking matter. I know that shit. Like, I gave Kendrick Lamar's album such a horrible fucking rating, and guess what? That shit is going to have zero effect on Kendrick Lamar's album. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fucking delusional. I'm talking with my friends, dude.
It's the worst now because of YouTube, guys. That every time Dick and Harry can come out there, and they don't even know their background, they don't even know their experience with the culture, they don't have no writing background, no journalist background, they can just come all out, talk a bunch of nonsense, and go viral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. We could easily give this. Like, yeah, I could, like, go hard on Kendrick Lamar, but Kendrick sucks. He's not even in the top 100 greatest rappers all time. This album's trash. And we could label it that on YouTube and get, like, a million comments of people saying, who the fuck is Pittsburgh Pat? You ain't no rapper. Man, this dude probably listens to mumble rap. Blah, 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 blah. We could do that. We don't. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, bro, I want Kendrick's album to do good, man. Like, I really do. Like, it's just not what I'm into, man. Like, I'm never going to feel like listening to any of those songs. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of identify a good album as, like, for a great example is 50 Cent The Massacre, right? I don't think that album is a classic by any means. I think it's kind of average at best. However, there's a few songs on there that I really like. So when I feel like listening to 50 Cent, I put those songs on a playlist. If I feel like listening to Kendrick Lamar, man, I really don't know what song off this album that I'd really even put on a playlist. But I like plenty of songs off of Damn and The Pimp Butterfly and, what's the other one called? Fuck, what's the other one called? Pimp Butterfly, Damn, and Good Kid, Mad City. I like those albums. There's a couple songs I like on those shit. And, you know, I just don't really, I don't know, but I only listen to, like, I mean, for real, like I said, I got halfway through this album and listened to the rest of it, but I kind of, like, zoned out. It just didn't catch my ear, you know what I mean? So, like, that's all I'm saying. So, like, I can't give it a high rating. Maybe I'll regret saying this. Maybe I'll go back and listen to it later in life. I mean, for real, like, Jay-Z's Kingdom Come. I love JP. People know that. Like, I love Jay. Like, that's, you know, he's up there for me. Like, I have, like, 10 rappers that I kind of like musically the same. Jay's one of them. I didn't like Kingdom Come at all. But now, when I listen to Kingdom Come, it's a lot better now than it was when it first came out. Like, if you go back and listen to it now, you're like, oh, damn, this joint's all right. But at the time, it didn't really sit well with me. You know what I mean? But,
yeah, a lot of albums you appreciate over time that you didn't really like before. They like,
mm-hmm.
I call it the growing effect.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, look, everybody knows I fuck with Saga and Heavy, man. But, like, if you go back and listen to his mixtapes and listen to the content he was talking about, and then I tell you about how I was living my life at the time, and then I came home from prison, and then if you listen to Saigon's two, like, studio albums and listen to how, like the growth on those two albums, and I tell you how I was, like, trying to move on with my life and trying to do better with myself, and then you, like, listen to those albums, you can understand why I have, like, a deep connection with those albums. But I understand that, like, if somebody isn't going through those things and living, my age had a lot to do with it at the time and everything. I mean, you can understand why I like it and you can see the talent in it, but, like, I don't expect some of those songs to hit you as hard as they hit me. So, like, while I give the Kendrick album a poor rating, I don't know what you two are going through. I don't know what kind of lives you guys are living. Some of those songs might hit you differently than they hit me. And that's why, like, top 10 lists and all that shit, like, they really don't matter. Because, like, am I really wrong if I think Soldier Slim's better than Pimp C? Am I wrong for saying that? No, I'm not. You know why? Because they're both fucking great. But you might have lived a life that connected you with the Pimp C lyrics, and I might have lived a life that connected me with the Slim lyrics. And none of us, neither one of us are wrong. You know what I mean? So, like, a lot of that has to do with it, man. Like, you know, we can all recognize talent and shit, but, you know, Kanye West might rap about some shit that, like, I'm just not going through the shit that he's rapping about, so I just don't feel it. The same way somebody that is going through his own feels. So, like, we have to take all that into account. So while I give the Kendrick album a poor rating, you might have heard that shit and have vibed with it and related to it in a way that I can never relate to it. And that's fine. In no way am I saying Kendrick Lamar's not a good rapper or that he's trash in any fucking way. I think Kendrick's a great artist. I hope that album does well, and I hope to hear another great album from him in the future. Which is with this album, at first listen, it's just not what I'm into, man. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You know?
Yeah, because I remember the time that I remember this when this went down, when Kendrick dropped his first album.
Mm-hmm.
It had stellar reviews. Then Shine came out there, said it was trash.
Who said I was a hater?
Shine.
Shine was a hater.
It was Good Kid, Mad City.
Was he saying that because of the whole King of New York line?
No. It was before then. It was like 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went out there and said, yo, he think the album is garbage. Then he had West Coast dudes putting the Blue Fly Zone on him. Nipsey called him out. Game called him out. You know Game gonna jump out the window. And that's where that whole issue with Game and Shine started. And that was weird to me because I was like, the last one should be jumping out his gang because, man, gang, you've been trying to be like Shine for, like, what, 10 years? He tried to rap like Shine. He tried to sign Shine to Black Wall Street. And I'm like, what's all this? Now all of a sudden he's trash? Like, that's crazy.
The game to me is like, dude, he's such like a nerdy white boy at heart, dude. Like,
oh lord,
he really is though, man. Like, he's such a nerdy white boy when it comes to rap music. Like, if you really think about it, dude. Like, look at all the tattoos he has. Like, look how he did with like when Nipsey died. He had his beard the same way, did his hair the same way, got a Nipsey tattoo. Oh, that's it, bro. Like, look how like. he acts like a nerdy white boy hip hop fan. That's how he acts.
Punk rocker.
And
it's a shame because he's a dope ass MC, you know. But
he's
like
he's a very good rapper.
Yeah, but he does a lot. I mean, look, I'm a Game fan, but Game does a lot of weird shit, and that's always complicated his career. That he does.
He's a
whack,
he said Game do a lot of weird shit.
Go watch his fucking Drink Champs interview. Bro, he's trying to be like Kanye West in that interview. He's not acting like how he always acts and shit. Right? He's not being the Game that we know in that interview. Look how he's even dressed. He's even dressed like how Kanye was dressed. And shit, like, with that mask and dressed in all black and all that shit, like, the dude's a fucking weirdo. He's like a groupie and shit. Like, it's fucking weird the way he fucking acts and dresses and the shit he says and shit. Like, he's fucking weird, bro. Like, the Nipsey shit, it got weird, bro. Like, he was like, he was trying to like look like him and shit and. Oh, man, it's like, bro, like, I get, like, he's a West Coast artist, and that's a huge loss, man, because, like, I'll admit, man, like, dude, I heard of Nipsey, like, before he really got, like, popping, you know what I mean, because, like, I was locked up, so, like, I was reading about him in magazines and all that, like, and he was just kind of like a mixtape cat that was, like, making a little bit of noise on the West and shit. He wasn't, like, known nationally yet, like that, you know what I mean? And I remember, like, hearing him on Smash Time Radio with Clinton Sparks and shit. And I'll admit, man, like, I just didn't see it right away. And like I said the other day on the air, like Eric had posted some shit about Victory Lap, like,
you know, like the West Coast is back or some shit like that. And I had commented like some smart ass shit like, man, if this is the West Coast savior, then the West Coast is in trouble. But like, I didn't really listen to the album all like that. I heard a couple joints, but they were like scattered. Like I listened to like track 2, then I listened to track 9, and blah, blah, blah. I didn't really get the feel from the album. And then one day I sat and listened to it, and I was like, oh, damn, I messed up. I'm wrong. This guy's, he's pretty dope. And, like, for real, I'm not even joking, like, 3 days later he was dead. And, like, but, like, I didn't give him the shot that I wish I would have gave him, you know what I mean? But, like, dude, the game, look at all the weird shit he did when Nipsey died and shit. And, I'm like, dude, he has so many tattoos of dead rappers and shit. Meanwhile, his manager's out there disrespecting every one of them. But, like, the bro's a weirdo. Like, dude, anybody he has beef with, I guarantee you, if they call him, like, hey, man, let's be friends. Like, let's make a song together. He would do it in a heartbeat. He's a fucking, he's a groupie, dude.
I knew that dude was weird from the get-go when they tried to market him as Easy's son before Little Easy had to check him.
Yep. Yep. And then, like, the whole Yuck Mouth thing, how, like, that was a snake bitch move. Like, they, like, squashed it and they were doing a song together. And then he, like, Yuck Mouth did his verse first, and then the game got on there and dissed Yuck Mouth on the song. Like, that was a snake bitch move, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that tells you a lot about a person's character within itself. Either he's bipolar or he has snakeish ways. That's probably why 50 kicked him out.
And, like, listen, like, you understand what I'm saying. Like, look, go watch a game interview from, like, 5 years ago, okay? And then go watch Kanye West's Drink Champs interview. And then watch the game's Drink Champs interview. And tell me that those two game interviews are the same person and the second game interview, the Drink Champs game interview, isn't him acting like Kanye West. I mean, when have you ever heard this dude disrespect Eminem? And then he tries to, like, say, like, yeah, Eminem, chicka chicka, Eminem, yeah, he does that shit. But, like, bro, like, he sounds like a corny white boy when he says that shit, for one. But, two, bro, like, you've done nothing but dick ride Eminem your whole fucking career, bro. And now all of a sudden you're saying, like, I'm dissing Eminem because 50 can't rap. Bro, like, that shit's been over with, man. That shit was seriously 17 years ago. Nobody cares about it anymore. Like, do you really care if the game has a 50 Cent diss out there? It's 17 years ago. And, like,
he would have been 06.
Yeah, and, like, Ludacris's line, and, like, for one, like, that stomp song, Young Buck, T.I., and Luda, how that shit went, how, like, T.I. dissed them, and then they went and told Ludacris, so Ludacris got on there and, like, responded back and all that. That whole debacle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the one thing in that lyric, in that song, that I see this all the fucking time, is when Ludacris said, nobody's saying about you, but your beef ain't legit. So please, bro, like, he's saying, look, your beef's not even real. Your beef with me ain't even real. You're just trying to be the number one guy in Atlanta, but I'm the number one guy in Atlanta, so you feel you have to beef with me to take my spot. We don't have a problem with each other. You're picking a fight out of nothing. I always liked that fucking lyric because a lot of dudes do that shit. So, like, the game under, like, I think the game knows, like, bro, I don't really have nothing left. Like, I've put out the best songs I could possibly put out. Like, you know, how the fuck is the game going to put on another hit record or something? Like, chances of that are stupid, you know, like, not very good. But if he's dissing somebody on it, then people will listen to it. You know what I mean?
He's got a name drop. He got a name drop, people.
His
that song he did with Yeet, with Kanye, is cold. He ain't got no buzz out
there. It's a good song.
Now.
You know what I mean? But, like,
if he comes out with a real diss record to Eminem or 50 Cent, I don't care how good it is, bro. I don't respect it, man. Like, I just don't respect it because I know it's nothing. It's not a real issue. You know what I mean?
He doing it for the buzz.
Yeah, like, they're not up-and-coming rappers trying to compete. Like, he's just trying to go viral and shit. I don't respect it, bro. He's being the WAC 100 of rappers. All right. WAC 100, man. Like, man, I hope him, Academic, and Poppy, Sean Campbell, I hope them, like, add Dekashi in there. I hope Master P gets his fucking pilot license and he picks those four up. And I hope they fucking crash and burn. Because they're all just cancer to the fucking game. They're ridiculous. Dude. They're disgraceful to the game. They're cancers. They're ridiculous. That you, none of you right now, none of you can name a positive thing about any of those games. What do they do positive for hip hop? None of you can give me one example of anything positive those guys do for today's hip hop. Nothing. You know what I mean? They're just ridiculous, man. All of them. WAC 100 is the biggest. Right. Like, at least Sug. Because, look, like, I make no bones about it, man. Like, I don't have much respect for Sug Knight. Like, I respect the fact that he put a lot of talented people on the same label, and there was a lot of great music that came out of that label and stuff. I don't have a lot of respect for how he conducted himself. I think that he put a, you know, people hate me for saying this too, but Tupac caused way more division in hip hop culture than the unity that he pretended to be about. You know, like, what unity did Tupac cause? None. You know what I mean? Like, he tried to speak up for, you know, little, you know, the police killing young black people and not being held accountable for them. But whenever he did that, like, there was a little black kid that got shot by a stray bullet by a gun owned by Tupac that, from an altercation Tupac was in. I think it was Quade Walker or something. But that little six-year-old boy was killed from an altercation Tupac was in. The most people don't even talk about that. Like, he didn't live up to what, like, so whenever he talks about, you know, like that girl that was killed by the Korean lady in the gas station and shit, and he wanted that Korean lady to be held accountable, and then he wanted, like, the police to be held accountable for killing young black people and all that. Meanwhile, nobody ever got held accountable for that little six-year-old boy that got killed by Tupac. What, you know, he held them little banquets about bringing Bloods and Crips together, but he was, in, you know, kicking a Crip in the fucking head on behalf of some Blood Crip shit on camera at the Tyson site. Yeah, I just saw Tupac didn't practice what he preached. There was no unity with East and West. I mean, to this day, go on fucking YouTube to any Biggie fucking video, and how many "fuck Biggie, rest in peace Tupac" comments do you see? He caused permanent division in hip hop. He didn't cause unity at all. So Suge Knight, because, you know, Suge Knight did business in a foul way. People died behind that shit. And he, I mean, like I said, I give him credit for taking out the talent, you know, Corrupt and Daz as a producer and Tupac and Dre and, you know, he picked Snoop, everybody. Like, he picked out a lot of great talent to have on his label and stuff, but that's all that he did for hip-hop. That's all he did was just, I mean, look how many other people had great rosters full of talent, but that's all he did. He caused a lot of division and destruction in hip-hop and changed it for the worse. We're in the year 2022, and there's still people that hate New York just because they're Tupac or Death Row fans. That's not positive shit. That's that's bullshit for real. You know what I mean? That's crazy for as much flack as New York gets for being biased to own their shit. That's crazy because from what those guys, the beloved artists on the West Coast from back in those days did to today, to this day, people still don't fuck with New York just based on what those guys did back in the 90s. So, like, I don't respect much from Chuck Knight. I really don't. And I would never celebrate anybody going to prison or anything like that. However, he bought that. He's not, although I don't think for what he's, I really don't think he should be there for what he's there for. But however, I do think he bought that. He brought that on himself. The destruction he caused, that's why he's there. He bought that. But WAC 100.
He was bullying tactics. I think what it was him. It was at the first time he got in, it was meant for the good because he got Dre out of his contract. He got Michelle A out of contract. You know, he finessed Vanilla Ice. You know what I'm saying? He got people.
But here's one thing that, like, messed up a whole different conversation that was in, but, like, here's one thing that I don't think that we ever take into account. We never take into account that when all this was going on, we were all a lot younger. Like, you know, we were all really young at the time. And we only kind of heard one narrative, one side of the story and everything. But when you really go back and look at the facts, what did Jerry Heller do that was wrong? What did he do? Like, why do people hate Jerry Heller? What did he do that was wrong? Like, does anybody know? Like, nobody really knows.
Well,
there's
a lot of speculation about, when you look at the whole NWA situation, there's a lot of speculation about Jerry, about how much, you know, Jerry had to do with the business. We were not there. We don't know what happened. Jerry has always said to his dying breath that Eric was the one, you know, Eazy-E, he was the one that, Eazy-E, that was his company. And, you know, Eazy handled the business.
Look, like, why wasn't Jerry Heller ever sued? He never robbed nobody. Maybe he presented unfair deals to where he wanted to make way too much money off of the artist's back or whatever. That's every single fucking boss in the history of America. You know, if you're going to hate on Jerry Heller, you better fucking hate the boss at McDonald's and Target and the gas station up the street. You better hate on all of them, too, because, of course, they want to make the most money off of your labor. That's what a boss fucking does. So you can't hold them accountable. You can't hold that against him in any way, shape, or form, because he can present a deal and you can turn it down, period. People have the impression that Jerry Heller was a thief. Do you really think that Ice Cube is as successful as he is and has access to whatever he wants and not once did he ever sue Jerry Heller? Jerry Heller didn't steal nothing off of anybody. So I don't really understand why people hate Jerry Heller. Jerry Heller didn't do anything wrong. Maybe he tried to present bad deals to people, but okay, that's fine. If you want to hate him for that, whatever. But I mean, I'm not some big Jerry Heller guy or nothing, but I just don't understand why we hate Jerry Heller. He didn't do, what did he do to anybody?
Yeah, I think
he was never
was
sued.
With Jerry Heller, I think between him and Eazy, they was hating because, according to what Dre said, he said he was only getting paid like, what, 3 cents? 3 cents to a dollar on his contract because his points was low. And I think he was being underpaid as a producer because he produced all those albums, like the TLC albums.
He probably was.
The pay joints.
Yeah. He probably was.
I won't
defend him on that. I won't defend Jerry Heller on that because I think that all these label heads and all that, they all do that. Everywhere you look, they all do that. Like I said, most people try to get as most as they can out of everybody's labor that they possibly can. So, okay, if you want to say he, gave shitty deals and shitty, he didn't pay everybody what they should have paid, that's fine. I just don't think that he deserves to be painted as this, like, this ultimate villain in hip-hop history because of what he did.
That's what's her name, Tamika Wright.
Mm-hmm.
She don't even do press anymore. That's how bad she's hated.
And to be honest, like, I never really got the full story on her. I never really looked into that. So I never talk bad about Tamika just because I never really looked into that. I don't know if the criticism on her is fair or not, to be honest. You know what I mean? So it might be. To be honest, it might be, but like.
Then again, hold on. Just like I said, because I think what they realize is that, like, with guys like Cube and Snoop, they get accused by a lot of artists about not paying them, and the same thing as Jerry Heller, the same thing as Jimmy Iovine. I think they realize that it's a business. It's a business at the end of the day, and you got to distribute those checks a sort of way. The same way that a lot of these guys are doing. Now, people are probably saying that, oh, man, they was robbing Suge and them, Suge and Jerry's robbing Snoop and Cube. Now they doing it to others. Now, what it is, they realize it's a business. You know what I'm saying? The boss can't make, the employee can't make more than them, than the check. I mean, than the employer.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to sign these guys, but when it comes to distribute those checks,
One thing I'll just never understand is, like, how the public, like, picks and chooses who the villain is. Like, you're like,
it's whoever has the bigger microphone. It's whoever has the bigger microphone.
Look at this. Like Jay-Z will quote a Biggie line. And he's never denied the fact that they were Biggie lines. He wasn't trying to pass them off of his own. Like, most Jay-Z fans are Biggie fans. So he kind of does that to keep Biggie's music alive and all that. We people that don't hate Jay-Z understand that. And, he'll flip, like, a well-known song. Like, we all know, like, Lil Wayne or whoever from Cash Money said, Cash Money is an army, better yet the Navy. So, dude, like, Jay-Z put out something like, Rockefellers are better yet the Navy. Like, bro, like, that's flipping a line of a famous song. Like, nobody heard that and thought that was a Jay-Z line. And, any logical person would be like, oh, that's just Jay-Z flipping a line that we all know into his own thing. Like, he wasn't trying to pass something off as his own. However, people say that about Jay. Like, the whole Cameron Jay-Z beef was, like, he did put that Swagger Jacker shit out there, and people would call Jay-Z a biter forever. But, like, look at the Ice Cube Cypress Hill shit. The whole beef was over Cypress Hill claiming Ice Cube stole their shit. And they even have evidence of it, but how often do you ever hear anybody calling Ice Cube a biter? You never hear that. So, like, it's just kind of odd how...
I'm going to tell you the why. I'm going to give you guys the answer.
Okay, give me
y'all ready for this one?
I'm ready.
How long Jay been winning?
Forever, since the start.
That's your answer. Because, see, we haven't
He has said that, too. Like, you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah. People have never seen Jay-Z go through a downtime, like a real downtime. Like, people have never seen Jay-Z really struggle. Everything about Jay-Z is top notch.
Even with that situation where Solange, you know, slapped them. I mean, they pretty much managed to kind of downplay that out a little bit. You know, it happened. They got pictures. I mean, it's certain.
Yeah.
It's confirmed. But they
at the end of the day, like, you can never control the people around you. You know what I mean? Like, all of us could be fucking friends, hang out every day. But out of nowhere, if we're on an elevator and I just get mad at you and start swinging on you, there's nothing you can do about that. However, Jay-Z, like, he's getting punched and kicked by a female, dude, and never once did he show any sign of aggression at all. He handled that the best way you could possibly handle that. And he gets no love for that. You know what I'm saying? He gets
no love for that.
Like,
been winning long like him. Like, every year since we heard and started hearing about Jay-Z, he's made more money. Every year he's made more money. He doubled up. Even when he lost the battle with Nas, he doubled up and made more money.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Way he's been able to transition, and a lot of people, for the most part, can't relate to this.
Yes, and, you know, I just think no matter what, like, I mean, and Jay has done, like, a lot of cool shit, like the whole prison system in Mississippi, how he's suing them, and, bro, he's got people out of jail, he paid for DMX's rehab, and he cleared DMX's debt at Def Jam, like, the people still criticize him for the Def Jam shit, but you never hear, like, Scarface getting criticized for Def Jam South. You know what I mean? Like, you never hear that type of shit, but Jay gets the criticism for everything. And everybody wants to say that he lost Nas and all that.
Yeah, because Jay-Z is what you consider a hip-hop success story in form of capitalism. Hip-hop, for the most part, has really been anti-capitalism for the most part. But Jay-Z changed the guard to where he made capitalism the thing to do.
Get
your money.
So what I say to that is you can't have it both ways. You can't say that we're anti-capitalism, but at the same time complain that we're not shown the credit by the same people. But we can't not say, like, oh, like, that's fucked up. The Grammys don't honor us. And then when the Grammys honor
we
us,
complain.
Say, oh, fuck them. We don't need their approval. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, when Jay got hated on, like, by his comment about the NFL, how, like, we're past kneeling and all that. And it's, like, people, like, killed him for that. But, you have to understand what he was saying. He was saying, so what are we going to do?
We
just keep kneeling?
Right, we need action.
Like,
we got to actually go out.
What are we supposed to do? Just, like, keep taking the knee? Like, that's accomplishing nothing. How about we start greening the culture and start, like, understanding that without black culture, the NFL wouldn't be shit. So let me come in here and let me add some black culture. Let me, like, really look at that deal that he signed with the NFL. Really look what it's about. I don't understand how anybody can hate on that.
But, like, if that was Nas doing that, or Kendrick Lamar, everybody would love it. But it's Jay, so they hate on it. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking wild to me, man.
Yeah, that's what the answer is, man. Go ahead, T-Max.
I'm just saying, I mean, when you're looking at it when you're looking at what it is, there's nothing wrong. People have to understand this. Love is a beautiful thing, but love don't pay the bills. And if you love what you do and it can pay the bills, then that's a great thing, as long as you don't sell yourself out for that love. Jay-Z has become a monumental movement in terms of understanding being a maven at being a mogul in all aspects of media. And inevitably he's going to be hated on because Jay has made moves in such a chess fashion. You know, that he's checkmated everybody along the way.
He signed some niggas.
Jay is not worried about the aspects of mundane things of popularity. You know, like what he say on 99 Problems, he's like, I'll get, you know, what was that line he said, Pat, on 99 Problems?
What's wrong?
We said that, but I don't give a shit, though.
Radio, the things I play, my shit, I don't give a shit, though.
Thank you, Pat. Yes. And I mean, the fact is, Jay knows that his base was organic in terms of how he, you know, got to his popularity. He'll tell you Reasonable Doubt didn't sell a lot when it first started. But what happened? What he said on Hard Knock Life? Gave y'all the first one, and y'all leaned out. Didn't really appreciate it until the second one came out. You know what I mean? So it's like he built his base from being authentic and having rhymes that really touch people. So his thing is,
there's nobody that has been such a... How do I word this? There's nobody that's been such a powerhouse but has remained an underdog at the same time like Jay-Z has. Like, no matter what Jay-Z does, he's going to get loved and respect from a large group of people and be hated on by another large group of people. He somehow... remained that his whole career. He's remained an underdog and a powerhouse at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, it's such an odd existence that Jay-Z has had that, like, if you take any bias out and really look at what Jay-Z's done, not even his accomplishments as, like, just music-wise, but, like, what he's actually done for hip-hop. Like, has anybody else tried to start a streaming service that paid artists more than others? But what, and then, you know, people that respect Jay will be like, man, that's dope that he did that with Tidal. What do other people say? You don't even really own 100% of it. Like, imagine if Nas got an NBA team to move to Queens and they put Prodigy's fucking, they put a banner up for Prodigy in the rafters. You're like, bro, that's so dope. Hip hop for life. Blah, blah, blah. Jay did that with the Nets, did that, you know, for Biggie. What do they say? He only owns 1% of the team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but like his fans, like, we love that shit, bro. Like, yeah, there's anything you do is going to hurt some people. And like, people say that hurt some people that lived in Brooklyn and all that shit. I'm sure it did, man. But like, Friday, we're going to do that shit without Jay. Like, you know, he only owns 2% of the fucking team. You know what I'm saying? So, like, use your hate against you. Like, yeah, like, if they were moving that team to Brooklyn, like, yeah, they might have used Jay as the mascot to do so, but they fucking, like, they was going to do it. Well, you know, if Jay didn't buy that 1% or whatever, somebody else would have fucking bought it. Like, you know, Trump would have bought it. You know what I mean? Like, anybody would have bought that shit, and it would be Brooklyn still. Like, you know, Jay, like, what people don't even understand, like, the little shit he did, but he executive produced the soundtrack to one of the NBA 2K games. Bro, that changed the whole fucking game. Now, like, artists get paid so much more money now if they use their songs in those games. And yeah, you know, like, the shit that he's done, like, you heard Nipsey, he used the fucking... the Annie fucking sample. Jay-Z had to, you know, he had to clear it. Jay-Z, whenever he cleared that shit for his album, he did, the deal that he made was that any rappers could do that for the rest of time. Any rappers can use that sample forever. And like, bro, like, he don't get the love for that. Like, he's done so much more, like, caring about the state of the game and, you know, the future of it. Like, he's done so much for that he does not get the credit, like, outside, like, unbiased, you know, like, unbiased fans should give him the respect. And, like, I'm not a blind Jay-Z fan. Like, I love Jay. I criticize some of his shit, too. Like, I criticize the fact that he could have put more New York people on, but he definitely could have. You know what I mean? And, there's a few moves that I think that he could have did better, or There's a thing, a couple things that he ignored that I felt that he shouldn't have, but I mean, I'm not a hater in any way, shape, or form, bro. Like, if I have that big of a problem, then I should go out there and find me a Dame Dash and a Biggs to form a company and release a classic gun. Like, oh, wait, I don't have the talent for that? Then fuck, man, I can't really hate on it. Like, who am I to tell Jay-Z what to do with his fucking business? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got $20 in your pocket right now and you was going to go buy, you know, some sandwiches, and I'm like, nah, P-Mass, you ain't doing that shit. Go buy some scratch-offs. And you don't buy scratch-offs and I'm mad at you for it, you'd think I was a fucking weirdo, right? Like, why the fuck do you care what I do with my $20? Like, why the fuck, you know, it's not up to us. But we, like, you know, it's not up to me what I think Jay-Z should do with his fucking money and his status and his opportunities. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
right,
in a perfect world, yeah, I wish Jay-Z would have did more. I wish he would have, you know, I wish he would have signed Papoose and Saigon and, you know, I wish he would have had a more of a East Coast movement instead of putting all that time and energy into Rick Ross and Jeezy and Kanye and, yeah, all the people from other places and shit. I wish he would have did more for the East Coast. But, hey, who am I to tell Jay-Z what to fucking do with his record company and his, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jay-Z isn't in the position that he's in to make me happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, people get lost in that shit. Like, oh, he should have did that. My least favorite shit is, like, the, you know, you'll see a picture of, like, LeBron and Jay-Z and Chris Rock and, you know, they'll be like Dave Chappelle and all these, like, very famous and powerful people, black people. And there's, like, all these fucking millionaires and not one school and blah, blah. It's like, man, I fucking hate you motherfuckers to say that shit. Like, I for real hate them motherfuckers because, like, bro, like, what the fuck are you doing to better the fucking community? You're sitting on Facebook commenting. And, like, they're never even going to see those comments. So your comments are – and you know they're not going to see them. So all you're doing is sitting – like, your level of activism is posting shit on Facebook. That's your level of activism. That's as far as you go. You don't do – you don't take $15 out of your paycheck to help poor people. And you're going to tell these people that this is what they should fucking do? You don't buy their shit. You don't fucking go to their concerts, buy their – merch and all that shit. You don't contribute to their money at all, and you're trying to tell them what they should do because that's what you want them to do? I think that's just the corniest shit in the fucking world, bro. Like, I hate that fucking shit. I hate it, bro. Like, I hate that shit. And, like, you know, if I say anything about, like, oh, but you're white, like, bro, that's nothing to do with none of that. Like, it, man, like, if you're not contributing to, if your level of activism is posting shit on Facebook, you're nothing. You ain't shit, bro. If you were really trying to help the community and all that, the only shit you would post is the location of the help that you're providing. You know how much $15 would do for some people? If you have 15 spare dollars out of your paycheck, man, walk downtown wherever you're at, man. Find someone that's all fucking be like, yo, man, I got $15, man. Let me buy you a couple loaves of bread and some peanut butter. Man, they'll love you for that shit forever. Right. Not one motherfucker does that shit to post that type of shit.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
We went way over, yo. Shit.
Look, I love this episode, though, bro. We all talked our shit. Said a lot of cool shit, man. Y'all take care.
Yeah, because I ain't wanted to go ahead and talk, and then he just cut it off like, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. We got to have a good close off.
But,
Definitely.
But we'll see Casanova hopefully on Wednesday, man. I don't know. He was weird about the flyer for some reason, but we'll see. But,
yeah.
I'll talk to you guys. People are just fucking weird, bro. And it's like bro, you can't hold a gun to anybody's head and say, name one Casanova to Don album. Like, I'm having him on the show because I'm like, yo, people think you're...
No, not that Casanova, another Casanova.
Oh.
Yeah, I got Casanova the Don, the fake Tupac dude. But, he was like complaining that we put like an old picture of him on the flyer and shit. Like, motherfucker, like, be happy we're having you on the fucking show, man. Like, who gives a fuck? Not one person gives a fuck what picture's on there, bro. Like,
they don't even know
if
you.
They're interested, yeah, if they're interested in the interview, they're just, they don't care what album you put. Like, dude, Peaches had a new song out. We put the promo for her, like, second song ever on the flyer. She never even said one word about that. And she was on the show to promote her new single. Like, you know, he's just a weirdo, bro. So he better, if he don't show up, bro, like, I'm dissing the fuck out of him. And I'm going to hit him up and do it. Because, like, he's just lame for that if he doesn't. But we'll see. But, all right, y'all. Good talk, though, guys. I mean that. Good talk. All right.
So, yeah, man, we about to sign up out of here.
Man.
See y'all Wednesday.
Yep. Yes, sir. Peace. All right, y'all. Peace. All right, y'all. Peace.